you today. We appreciate that you're here. We have a number of visitors with us, and we welcome you. We're glad that you're among us, and we hope that we can get better acquainted with you after the services conclude, and invite you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock, and midweek we meet on Wednesday nights at 7, and you're invited at all those services, and we hope that we can be of service to you concerning the things of God. And to that end, I invite you and each one of us to get a Bible, and in a moment we will study from it some of the things that God has revealed to us in His Word. That's how God speaks to us today. It's in the Scriptures. We cannot expect to wait for God to, as it were, quote, move on our heart and give us some feeling that we'll attribute to God. But we must go to His Word, because that is what He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, verse 1 tells us that in these last days, God speaks to us in His Son. So if we want to listen to God, we have to open His Word, the Bible, and we have to allow God to speak to us. We've got to listen to God. We've got to receive what He says, and then put those things into practice in our lives, in our hearts and in our lives, that we might surrender all, as we have sung and as we intend to study this morning concerning the matter of faith. I want to talk this morning about Abraham's surrendering faith. It's a lesson about the nature of faith and the nature of our own faith. What kind of faith do we have? Because it is clear when we begin to look at Abraham that he had a faith that surrendered. It was surrendering by nature, and that really saving faith is surrendering by nature. Now, the idea of surrender is the idea of yielding to the power, control, or possession of another, either under compulsion or demand. Now, God does not compel us to surrender. He seeks to persuade us to surrender. He has commanded it, but He seeks to persuade us through the gospel. The gospel is a message of persuasion, to act upon our heart, to convict us, and so compel us to surrender ourselves to Him. You understand what it means to surrender. And it's the word, as it's in our English dictionary, it means essentially the same thing with the Greek language. The Greek word, it's the idea of yielding oneself over to the power, the influence of another. In this case, to Jesus. And the reality is that discipleship to Jesus demands surrender. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus persuades us and expects us to surrender ourselves, to deny ourselves, to be living by faith and following Him. In Luke 14:33, Jesus said that even so, if we do not forsake all that we have, we cannot be His disciples. He says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So we must make a fundamental decision to surrender everything to the will of Jesus Christ. That He is the priority, the first priority. Not one among many, not one among several, but the first priority, ever and always. Or we cannot be His disciple. Jesus is very clear. We cannot follow Him. We cannot align ourselves with Him unless we surrender everything to Him. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Paul lives this surrender. In another place he said, the things that I kind of gain now, I count them as loss that I might gain Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, he said, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Living by faith is what this lesson is about. So we're going to look at Abraham and how Abraham lived by faith in the promises of God. Faith in the God who called him, the God who sustained him, the God who made promises to him. And in noting his surrender and the nature of a surrendering faith that he had, we learn a pattern for ourselves, because after all, Abraham, who is called the friend of God, is also called the father of the faithful. In fact, Galatians 3 and verse 29 says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So we have a connection with Abraham through Jesus Christ, not in the flesh, but by faith. And so he, being the father of the faithful, as the book of Romans describes him, and as Galatians now says, we are his offspring. We proceed from Abraham because of faith. A couple of things thoughts in that ought to grab our attention. You remember in John 8 and 39 and the surrounding verses, some Jews who had believed in Jesus began to dispute with Jesus. And as Jesus said, if you know the truth, if you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they began to object and argue with Jesus about it. And in the midst of that, he said, my word has no place in you. My word doesn't have any place in your heart. Verse 37. But then in verse 38, he said, I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you've seen of your father. With your father. And they said, well, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, the scriptures describe us as the children of Abraham. We're Abraham's seed, Galatians 3:29. So the principle is, if you're from Abraham, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. So the point is, for you and me, if we're going to examine our faith as we look at Abraham's faith, then we need to see Abraham's faith as a working faith. And we need to do the works of faith that Abraham did. And secondly, we need to walk in the steps of his faith. Look at Romans 4. The idea is, we can't simply claim Abraham as our father and then fail to do the works of faith like Abraham did works of faith. Not the same works, but the same principle of a working faith. That's the point of James, the second chapter. Abraham's faith was made complete because he did what God said. And so ours is made complete when we yield, when we surrender to the Word of God in our lives. And until then, our faith is not complete. Till then, our faith is not like the faith of Abraham. Till then, we can claim Abraham as our father, but in truth, we have a different father. You see, that was the problem in John 8. They claimed Abraham as their father, but they weren't doing the works of Abraham. They were doing the works of the devil. So look at Romans 4, lest we lose the point and come back then to this idea. In Romans, the 4th chapter, in verse 12, it says concerning Abraham that he is the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also those who walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while uncircumcised. Paul is making his point of inclusion in this context, that Gentiles as well as Jews are included as being the beneficiaries of a faith that Abraham had before he was circumcised. So you can't make the circumcision of the flesh the contingency upon which you regard yourself as a child of God. He said, whether you're Jew or you're Greek or Gentile, you're going to have a faith that walks in the steps of faith that Abraham had. And as he goes on in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He is the father of us all. His faith that surrenders all to God is the faith that the pattern, the chief pattern of faith that we have set before us to do the works of our father Abraham and to walk in the steps of his faith. And so let's explore for just a few minutes this aspect of faith of surrender. That Abraham had a surrendering faith. He surrendered his country. He surrendered his country. In Acts 7, verses 2, 3, and 4, Stephen looks back on the history of his people and he begins by saying, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And he said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives, and come to the land that I will show you.' Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. Abraham was called by God to leave a place of familiarity, a place of security, a place of comfort. He said, leave your home, leave your country. And Abraham did. He surrendered his home, his comfort, his security, all those things that he knew for something he did not know at all. Now you see, America is great. It's a great country. But heaven is greater. And our home's heaven. We just happen to live in this country. You may live in Canada. That's a great country too. You see my point? That God says, we have now a heavenly home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And in fact, in the reading, in Hebrews 11, portion of which the Caleb read for us, he goes on in that text, but in verse 9 it said, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. As in a foreign country. And that's really the point here that we want to grasp is, our first allegiance is to God, not to man, not to man's laws, to God, who tells us to follow man's laws, unless they interfere with God's law. Acts 5:29. But you see, he lived as a person in a foreign country, and we're described as pilgrims. In that text, going farther in Hebrews 11:13-16, you see how when they were in the land of promise, it says in verse 13, these all died in faith. He summed up among them Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, the fathers. He said they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, by that they declared openly that they seek a homeland. They were seeking a homeland, but it wasn't the land of promise. They were seeking a better homeland, a heavenly homeland that God prepared. God said, I'm going to give this land to your descendants, Abraham, and they're going to be innumerable. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. But you see, Abraham lived in that land as in tents, moving from place to place. Now, you say, well, I'm glad I'm not Abraham. God hadn't told me to leave my home. I just stay right here where I am and everything's good. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. We can stay where we grew up, nothing wrong with that, or we can move someplace else. But you see, the point here now is, what do we really conceive as home? What really is that which we cling to and cease to as home? As my country? As my domain? And if it is anything less than heaven, then we have not yet aspired to the surrendering faith of Abraham, have we? See, Abraham's faith put him on a course where this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Anywhere with Jesus is home sweet home, we sing. Those are the songs we sing to affirm the faith that we have put in Christ. And now we live for a better country. A surrendering faith is required to do that. Because you see, there are times in our life where we must make choices of home or heaven. Of this world, this life, these securities, these familiarities, these comforts, or live as in a strange land, because a better land is prepared. And really, that's the call of the gospel for every single one of us. Every single one of us. And it's ongoing. And so that's the basis of the surrendering nature of faith, is that we surrender ourselves and don't drive down our stakes here on earth. Remember James 4. We can make plans in this world where we say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. I'm expecting to do this. I'm anticipating that. I'm making a plan down the road if the Lord wills. And if we become so connected to the plans that we make that we forget God, where is our surrendering of all? Have we really surrendered all? No. Not if that's the case. You see the point? It's rather vivid, not hard to miss, unless we don't have the surrendering nature of faith that is required of us to do the works of Abraham and to walk in the steps of the faith of He who is the Father of the faithful. Secondly, Abraham surrendered kinship. Go back to Acts 7 and verse 3. He surrendered his kinship when it says, "Get out of your country and from your relatives, and from a land that I will show you." And I know that he said, "Get up from your relatives. They're going to stay here, and you're going to go there. You're going to go a different place." You know, sometimes that's required when we follow the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 36 that a man's enemies will be those of his own house, those of his own family. And read that verse where Jesus said, man's enemies will be those of his own household. So when Jesus tells us to go there, and our relatives say, no, let's go there. Let's stay here. Let's live this way. Let's have this faith. Let's worship this way. And God says, no, you come follow my son. Are you ready to surrender? You see, that's the surrendering faith that Abraham had. Because when God said, get out from your relatives, leave your relatives, he did. And, you know, that's the call of faith, that is the surrendering nature that we need, every one of us must have, if we're going to please God, if our faith is going to be acceptable to God. Joshua 24 and verse 2 says, Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. You see, your family may serve other gods. I'm going to look out among us this morning and I can see a majority of people whose parents or grandparents or children serve other gods. And the gospel has called you out from your relatives. Not that you are hateful to them, not that you're mean to them, but you see, you're on a different path now. You're on a different course. And to surrender all, it means, like Abraham, that you may have to get out from your relatives, because the relative is going in the wrong direction, away from God. You know, this is so crucial in marriage. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 33 lays down the principle. That was in the context of a distressing situation where Paul said, my judgment is, if you're single, you ought to stay single, but if you're married, don't get divorced. His point is stay in the right relationship you're in, but at this moment with present distresses, it'd be good for you to be like I am. But the principle I want to take note of here is in verse 33. He said, he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, that principle, nothing wrong with pleasing your wife. But you see, there may come a time when the wife becomes the enemy if the wife is not surrendering by faith to the will of Jesus. What are you going to do? So it's important to choose a mate, choose a husband, choose a wife that shares your faith, that shares faith in God, that has their own faith. I say share your faith, but shares the same faith that you have. Because you see, otherwise you're at cross purposes. How can you pull together when you're pulling in opposite directions? You see, in every respect, I surrender all to Jesus has application to family relationships. And Abraham had family. He kept family, but he would not allow family to say, "Oh God, I can't go because all my family's here. I can't leave Haran. I'm an old man. You want me to leave my brothers and all my kinsmen here? I just can't do that." We come up with a lot of excuses not to obey Jesus, not to obey the gospel. And we convince ourselves of their legitimacy. But in the meantime, we bolster the point of being willing not to surrender when God says surrender. I surrender all. Abraham, in his faith, surrendered his own personal judgment to the will of God. Go back to Hebrews 11 and verse 8 as we're thinking especially about God's call of Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees and then from Haran to go into the land of promise. It says in verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place that he would receive for as an inheritance. Now watch this. He went out not knowing where he was going. Well, I'm glad that God hadn't called us to that. Go somewhere where you don't know where you're going. Or have you? Any of you been to heaven yet? But God's made a promise, hasn't he?
Amen.
And so, hasn't he? Didn't he provide a type, anti-type here? That just as God called Abraham out of his home to travel as a foreigner in a foreign land to a place he hadn't been. He's calling us to go to a place we hadn't been. Put our faith and trust in Him. You see, who in their right mind would decide today to sell a house, pack up all their goods, and move but not know where they're going? Would you do that? Would I do that? That seems pretty irrational, wouldn't it? You know, we say, if I'm going to move, I don't know where I'm going. But no, he did this not knowing where he was going. But he knew his God. He trusted God. That God would take him where God wanted him to be. See, when God said go, Abraham went. Now, you see that throughout his life. In Romans 4 is some of a record of it. Hebrews 11 is more record of it. When God told Abraham, "You're going to have a child. He told him that when he was much younger, when he was 75, but now, 25 years later almost, "You're going to have a son. You're going to name him Isaac." Abraham didn't know how he was going to get there because he knew he was an old man. How in the world could he have a child? How could Sarah have a child at her age? But he went there because he trusted God. And she conceived and bore a child. You see, he surrendered his judgment. That would be foolish to pack up and go not knowing where I'm going. That would be foolish to think we could have a child at this late stage. But he trusted God. Rather than surrendering faith is surrendering our own personal opinions and judgments to thus saith the Lord. Because that's what faith is all about. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It doesn't come by hearing my judgments. He said, "Joe, you give up your judgments. You give up yourself." You see. When God said, "Take your son, your only son, the child of promise, and offer him to me on the mount." Who in their right mind would do that? Who in their right judgment would do that? But Abraham did that because, you see, he valued God's word over his own judgment. He trusted God. When every fiber in his being would say no, when every bit of his being would say, there's got to be another way. Abraham's surrendering faith is our pattern. Why? Because the judgments of God are true and righteous altogether. When God reveals his judgment, when God speaks his word, it's true and it's altogether right. In 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, 13, we have a poignant example of this when Naaman the leper comes to Elisha the prophet, who says, go to the river Jordan and there dip 7 times and your leprous skin will become like a child. And in a rage he leaves because that didn't measure up to what he wanted. The servant prayed the foolishness of the captain of the Syrian army and said, my father, the prophet, had told you some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Much more, really, go and do what he says, wash and be clean. No, but my judgment is the rivers of Syria are far better than that muddy Jordan. My judgment. My opinion. Get us in trouble. It would have left him a leper until by faith he surrendered his will, you see, to the will of God. Whatever God says to do in the Bible, I must do. If God says to jump through a stone wall, it's my job to jump. It's God's job to get me through. No, God, I can't do that. No, God, you shouldn't expect me to do that. No, if God says jump through the wall, jump, he'll take care of the rest. Now, you say, well, that's true. He didn't impose to jump through the wall. I know, but he has said to rise and be baptized and wash away your sin. Do you believe him? Are you going to argue with God that you can be saved without being baptized for the remission of your sins? You see, surrendering faith. God says, love your enemy. Oh, there's just some people I just never can love. Just refuse to love. Are you going to jump? Are you going to jump? Or are you going to argue and say, no, I'm not going to jump. I'll get hurt. See your point? We let personal judgment set our habits, and then we define those habits as faith, when in fact, we may be building a case of our personal faith on our own habits, on our own choices, on our own judgments, rather than of our faith in the Lord. That's why we have to carefully examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. That's a careful examination of the way we think toward God and toward the Word of God. To surrender our wisdom and will to the will of God. You see, it's God's foolishness to the message preached to save those who believe. That's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of men says, no, the gospel is not that. The gospel won't do that. God says it will. We have to surrender our personal judgment to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the Word of God. Don't you see also with me that Abraham's faith surrendered what was most precious to him in order to obey God? He surrendered his son, Isaac. That which was most precious. A surrendering faith surrenders what is most precious to do God's will. Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, it was a test of faith, no question about it. When God gave him a commandment, that was a test, would he follow God's will? He offered up Isaac by faith. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. God had promised this child, and God had said, through this child your seed will be called. Through this child there'll be a great nation. Through this child all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Take this child and offer him up. Look what that amounted to, or how his faith is described in verse 19. Here's how Abraham approached this, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham was so committed to surrendering and immediately doing the will of God by faith, so committed that God would accomplish what God had promised, that God must be going to raise him from the dead. He said, well, Lord, I'm glad God hadn't commanded me to kill my son or my daughter. I just don't know if I could do that. Really? Well, no, he hadn't commanded to do that, but are you telling me that you don't need the faith of Abraham to go to heaven? Is that what we mean by that statement? Because, you see, there may come a time in your life when you have to surrender your child to put Jesus first. Can you do it? You see, that's the point here. If God says, surrender all your money for me, that which is most precious, your house, your job, your position, will you do it? See, what's most precious? I mean, we can comfort ourselves, oh, God hadn't expected that of me. But what has he expected? He's expected everything. But how can we say he hasn't? Oh, I know, he didn't say go and kill your child, but he said he who loves father or mother more than me, son or daughter more than me, isn't worthy of me. Because you see, faith requires surrender to do the will of God instead of the will of man. When he did that, look how he did it in Genesis 22. Look how Abraham did this. We have to be impressed with how he did it. Verse 3, Abraham rose early in the morning. He didn't stay in bed. He didn't tarry. He didn't say, well, I've got to do this. And about 2 p.m., he decided to start packing up and start heading out. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took his young men with him and Isaac his son, split the wood for the burnt offering, rose and went to the place that God had told him. He immediately responded, by faith. Is that what we do? Really? Is it really what we do? Or do we procrastinate, look for convenient seasons? God says, arise and be baptized, and I say, no, not yet. One of these days. And you know what happens? We allow sin to harden our hearts. We test God, like Israel did in the wilderness. We make trial of the Lord, that God really won't be upset with us when we don't do what he says, and then we convince ourselves that we're really doing what he said, and we're not. Abraham had a surrendering faith that surrendered the most precious thing in his life because he trusted God's word. You see, he believed in hope. Romans 4, 18 through 22 says he believed in hope. In hope he believed against hope. And so Sarah conceived. He believed that God would keep his promise. And so God, if I'm going to kill him, God's going to raise him up. I'll let God take care of his business. What does God want me to do? You see, like Abraham, we have to set our eyes on God's promises that go beyond the here and now into eternity. Hebrews 6 is another place where the New Testament draws our eyes to the faith of Abraham and those of old, and God's promises made to them, and that in how he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He patiently endured, and that's what we've got to do. See, he kept his eyes on what was coming. When we're tested, when our faith is put to the test, and we must surrender all for Jesus, we do that because we have a hope that enters into the presence of God, verse 19. Because God has made a promise, he's confirmed it with an oath, God's going to keep his word. He's going to keep his word. And so we surrender. That's what God calls us to do, in the surrendering faith, to yield up everything to our God. Not just until it hurts, Paul said, the things that have gained to me I've counted loss for Christ. And indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, refuse, that I may gain Christ. I surrender all. We may be surrendering, but I wonder, am I surrendering? Does it hurt? You see, only by surrendering all have we set apart Christ as Lord in our heart. Really, isn't that true? Set apart Christ as Lord in your heart, being ready always to give every man an answer. The hope that within you is meek and sincere. 1 Peter 3:15. But not only to set him apart as Lord with our hearts is to fully surrender our heart to him. Fully surrender our life to doing his will. Abraham's faith, a surrendering faith, teaches us the kind of faith God wants us to have. To surrender, to yield ourselves totally and completely to the revealed will of God. That begins by becoming a Christian, and it continues by being faithful until life is no more. Begin that journey today. Come out from the land of sin. Come out from the land of error and those things that destroy the soul. Come out and in faith in Jesus, with faith in Jesus, repent and be baptized and be saved. To have a homeland of heaven, and then to be faithful and true, following His word, surrendering, denying self, surrendering all, hearing His word and knowing and trusting that it's right and it will lead you to heaven. We can help you do that once you come while we stand in sin.